Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 398 of Top Rope Nation. You have two distracted individuals at the moment for two completely different reasons. I am your host this evening. Jesse Velasquez as Ryan Drosty is either just getting home from Chicago or is en route as we speak. However, when the host is away, the boys will play. Justin Joint, how are you on this wonderful Sunday evening?
I am doing pretty damn good. My distractions lie. This is going to be a pretty unique episode here. Hopefully we get some people in the chat because I've got the 49ers on the TV. I'm going to be talking pro wrestling with my buddy Jesse. And I am in the midst of my NBA fantasy draft right now. We are in round seven. And this is 1 minute intervals. So it's, oh shit, somebody just took the guy I was going to take next year. So it's going hot and heavy.
This is incredible. So literally I've been asked to be the Bret Hart 1992 WWF SummerSlam version on this evening. And I think I can do that. I've been zeroing in on WrestleDream since last night, even with the young man here up until early this evening. I'm very fortunate enough to where I'm watching him, or excuse me, he's at my house tomorrow night, and she has him tonight. So I got a little more emphasis. I have less distractions, and we are off and running. Did you make another pick, Justin?
No, I'm four away here. It looks like I'm going to need a forward or a center. Kind of the two positions that are the least amount of depth. I don't know what to do here. We're going to have to see who's available. Ooh, OG Anunoby is still out there. Is he going to stay healthy this year?
Give me the team again.
Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's awesome. He just gets injured all the time. Ah, shit. Okay. I'm up. Let's hear. We got
moment of truth, folks.
We got Ayton. I do need a center. Nas is still out there. I wonder if he could fall to me at 73. I think I'm going to wait on a center. Let's go forwards.
All right.
40 seconds here. Sorry, everybody who came here to listen to professional wrestling.
The power of AEW Wrestle Dream and the NBA draft, or excuse me, the fantasy NBA draft as we speak. Gosh, I used to love these back in the day.
All right, let's take a swing and hope OG stays healthy this year.
All right.
We're going OG.
So while he is doing that, I'm going to make one quick announcement here, and that's just going to shout out our patrons, which I probably should have been doing in the first place. I'm going to go second half of this show. I'm going to go a little more in-depth because we have released some surveys and gotten some feedback over the course of the last few days. And I want to go a little more in depth into that middle of the podcast. It's super important for formats and things that we're going to be doing in the near future. Shout out to Ryan for creating that. And our goal is to continuously get new viewership and new patrons to Top Rope Nation. So I'm going to go into all of those logistics here about midway through said podcast. And lovely patrons down below, as you see the names scrolling across the screen. We love them. You will love them too. That is coming off for the moment. While you are in ponder and thought, Justin, as always, like we do on this show, AEW Wrestle Dream was last night from St. Louis, Missouri. Grade for the show, A through F.
Boy, I tell you what, when the show ended, it was a pretty easy A for me because it just left me on such a high. And granted, it was, 11:30 Central Time and I was deliriously tired and possibly half drunk. That's none of your business, listeners. Don't ask me. there just wasn't very many duds. It was not a perfect show by any means, but it was pretty consistent. I'm kind of done with the AEW pay-per-views are too long talking point. I think we just need to be over that at this point, because that's what happens every single fucking time. I'm going to go A-.
I like it. I toggled back and forth between a couple. I'm going to nitpick tonight just a little bit. B-plus is my grade. I think top to bottom consistently, this might have been the most consistent pay-per-view AEW has done this year, top to bottom 2025. I don't think from a star rating perspective, it wavered much between the top match and the low. I actually had a lot of the matches just first view. I think the lowest I went was either 2.5 or 2.75, and the highest I went was between 4.25 and 4.5. So everything fell kind of in that central bubble, and I don't know how you felt about that.
Well, again, one of the things I like about AEW is kind of no matter what kind of professional wrestling you like, you're going to get at least one match on their pay-per-views that should hit that sweet spot. And I think this pay-per-view is no different in that regards. Is, you know, we had the kind of the high velocity, let's do every single maneuver kind of matches, spamming finishers. We had a little bit more of a classic pro wrestling match, in my opinion, with the men's world title match. We had, you know, the main event was incredible. There was just a little bit for everybody there, which is kind of AEW's calling card at this point. Wouldn't you agree?
Not just that, three women's matches that I felt were anywhere from solid to very good. I'd say there wasn't that one over the top women's match. I think one thing we'll talk about kind of middle in the middle of the show was, in my eyes, how all three tag matches were the ones that stood out to me. I think I think the AEW tag division's back.
Oh yeah. I mean, Tony's been doing a hell of a job since, I would say, late spring, at least by All In. He's been putting in the work to really, I mean, I would say the tag division is almost as strong as it's ever been. And I think he's still working on it. You know, we have yet to see what's going to be going on with, oh shit, I am. I'm sorry. I'm so distracted. But the Scissor Guys.
The Acclaimed.
Thank you. If they're going to actually team back up. But yeah, the tag division's really strong right now.
I was just thinking about the Acclaimed today. Funny enough, as I was, my son was like in the midst of building. I usually have one earbud in. And for whatever reason, I don't know why I did this, I threw on TRN's All Out 2022 podcast review. The Acclaimed happened to be taking on Swerve and Keith Lee in that match. This was at like the height of of the Acclaimed in their, I mean, not just the fandom. Actually, yeah, it was the height of their fandom too, because holy hell was that Chicago crowd incredibly hot for them. Yeah, they're not even in the conversation right now. However, should we start with either the main event or the World Heavyweight Championship match?
That's a good call, because I think the most interesting thing going forward storyline wise came out of the men's championship match. But I mean, let's start from the top, because, you know, like I said, that, oh, it's time for me to draft. Oh, let's see here. What do I need? we're kind of at the utility bench portion of the evening. Ooh, Reed Shepherd's out there. Does anybody think Reed Shepherd's going to have a good year?
I don't know who he is.
Jordan Poole, will moving to New Orleans reignite him? Keegan Murray of Iowa. It looks like he's injured. I don't think we want him. Herb Jones. Love me some Herb Jones, but I don't know if that is the way. Sorry, everybody. We are going to go Enyeka Okongwu. All right. Sorry. What were we talking about? Professional wrestling, right?
Is he related to Cheki Okongwu from the Tennessee Titans? I would love to know that, actually.
Oh, I don't know. I do not know.
But go on. We were talking about Darby and Moxley in the I Quit match. Your thoughts, the presentation, the violence?
I mean, I am not one of these tied around the collar people who get upset about, you know, the violence. going in, I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little concerned that they would go over the top, you know, being that it's these two guys. But there really wasn't as much blood, and a lot of the violence was kind of left more to your imagination, because I think the part that I cringed at the most was the finger spot, where in my head he was jamming that thing into his fingernails. You know, that's what I was thinking about. And I was really cringing there, but it's like, you really couldn't see what was going on. So I thought that was note perfect, the way that Darby won and the look on his face of just pure elation, I thought was just absolutely perfect. I mean, old man Sting, dude, I mean, that's the Sting that I wish we would have had for the entire AW run, just looks wise I'm talking about here. Cause it just would have differentiated them more from the past Stings. And, you know, and I'm one of those people's like, once you go gray, just accept it, just embrace the gray, you know, don't try and, live in a past life. So yeah, man, I just got a kick out of that entire match. You know, the Death Rider into the chair, the Death Rider into the tables, fucking Claudio with the absolute spot on toss of Darby onto the table outside, which was made even better visually by the table not breaking and Darby just bouncing off the goddamn thing. I mean, I really can't say enough for that match. Moxley is, I mean, he's the ace of AEW. If you go from the very beginning, you know, Jericho was the first champion. You know, Kenny is absolutely beloved, but John Moxley is one who's the anchor of that promotion. And he just proved it more even here on this show. Yeah, man, I will say, considering all the violence we've seen lately, I'm okay with them maybe not doing, you know, because we, you know, the Hangman match at All In, you know, we had the lights out at Forbidden Door. So I'm okay with a little break for a while. I'm curious as to what Darby does next, because he kind of climbed the mountain. He was 0-5 against Mox before last night, and he finally got that first big win with a sharpshooter, no less, Sting's move. And it really felt like a passing of the torch with Sting handing the bat over to Darby, and Darby using that, and a great visual with Darby dragging the bat into the water and then pointing it at Mox, and there's just water dripping down from it. And I don't know, man, it's like, I'm sure we'll talk about match of the night, but goddamn, that one's way up there for me. I loved it.
So you like the water spot. I didn't really dig into the believability of it all, because Moxley, of course, I mean, you're not going to drown somebody. It's there. And like, you put him in there for 6-7 seconds and you pull him up. Like, are you going to quit yet? You could literally just stuff the guy's head 20-25 seconds and drown him. But I mean, of course you're not going to do that.
Well, just, I mean, that's the whole point of the match. It's to inflict enough violence where somebody finally says enough. And he's hoping that was going to be the breaking point for Darby. He's like, fuck, is this guy going to kill me? And obviously, you know, with Darby, he was not going to quit in this match.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole story of everything, is just Darby in his adamantium style, just getting through everything. I wrote that Grandpa Sting was a choice. I did enjoy it, though. I got to admit, I had a big old smile on my face. Part of me was wishing it was Bryan Danielson, because it's been a year since Wrestle Dream, since he lost his title and was technically retired. However, how could you not pop for that moment? Because there was nobody there to rescue Darby Allin. He was there by himself. The ops obviously had just turned, so you knew they weren't coming to help out. He got Ospreay on the shelf, Swerve on the shelf. Darby was pretty much by himself at this point, so this was definitely the appropriate choice if it wasn't going to be Bryan Danielson. And then the other thing for me was, I think with all of these spots and just like, who's going to quit? To me, a bat shot, a couple of bat shots, then the Scorpion Death Drop into the Coffin Drop into the Scorpion Death Lock. I almost felt like, in a weird way, that wasn't enough.
Oh, really?
Like, he almost should have, in a Hangman way, I know this maybe is like repeating history, but like hung him out to dry. And maybe that's John Mox's Achilles heel, is he's afraid of choking, and that's the best way to get him to tap out. I don't know.
I mean, they kind of did that twice. There was the spot earlier when he flung him over the rope and there was the eye poke. And he did it right before the Scorpion deathlock. So I was pretty okay with how everything went. Oh shit, I got to make a fucking pick here. God damn it.
No, and I'll just keep going while you make this pick. Yeah, it was slightly anticlimactic just for me, especially with, I think, the way the match was structured from start to finish. It's just some of the gruesome and the craziness that we saw, which the right winner, this was so obvious. Darby needed to win. Yep. He got off the schneid just like you said. Now he can move on to what is the question? Because you have a face champion right now. And Austin, no, let's ask you this question. We had talked about blood and guts for the women here on November the 11th. I personally don't want to see a men's blood and guts. Are they going to resort to this as a final chapter for Darby Moxley? Was this the final chapter? Where do you think Darby goes from here?
I mean, I don't think there's really going to be a final chapter in the sense that the Death Riders are just going to like disappear or just like stop as a faction. I think it's just going to be, I think this kind of was the end of it. And as far as the blood and guts, the only way that I won't mind if it continues, I took Tori Eason, if anybody's interested. Nice. The only way I would be okay with a men's and women's is they got to go old school with them. And it's been my constant complaint with modern day war games matches is that the first 20 minutes don't fucking matter. You know, it's just like they fight, everybody gets in there, and then the match just basically resets with energy bars back up to full. If they go back and they are sub 25 minute matches or right around that area, I think you can do two. But that's the only case. They got to go old school, keep them violent, keep them short, which was the magic of the original War Games, because everything mattered.
Yeah, you're right. There was maybe 4 minutes after the last person would come into the ring, that's when the match would end. That happened a lot. A lot of those traditional war game senses. But everything, I think just the way the pro wrestling industry has evolved over the last 25, 30 years, they don't really, like I said, they try to evolve. And it's almost better just to stick to the original script, especially in this aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Well, I guess the only other thing for me is that even talking about this pay-per-view, it's like the matches were good, but there was something with the women's matches that were just kind of lacking for me. Okay. I just wasn't quite invested in, and I'm certainly with what seems to be the direction of the women's War Games or the Blood and Guts. That they have a lot to do to really get me invested in that, whereas, you know, there's a couple different storylines I think they could go with for the men's that would be a little bit more interesting, which is why possibly I'm just a little bit more okay with maybe them doing two.
I actually just thought of this as well. Who's going to team with Darby? If this were the case, if you're going against the Death Riders, what's left?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is still some comeuppance that Orange needs as far as the Death Riders go. Obviously he was a big part of when that storyline started, and you know, they had the pre-show match on this one with the conglomeration against the Death Riders. But you know, either that or you do something with the Don Callis family. There's a lot going on there. Yeah, I don't know. So not to diverge too much, but what did you think about the women's matches on this show?
I liked them all. I thought they were solid. There wasn't one that was over the top spectacular. Mm-hmm. Let's just bounce around. Yeah. Let's start with Mercedes Moné first, because that was the one I was the most underwhelmed by out of the three. I think it was really anticlimactic. I thought they put on a pretty good wrestling clinic. I just don't know what I think of Mercedes channeling Ultimo Dragon and her now having 11 championships when one of them now is the Ring of Honor Television Championship. She's not going to go on to YouTube or Honor Club and defend that thing. I just don't really understand where this is going. I was kind of hoping it was going to be Athena just like showing up and shocking the world and defeating her. But I can also understand why people don't want Athena there. You probably want the proper build. I guess give me your thoughts on Mercedes.
Again, I didn't really care about that match. I just wasn't invested at all, partly because it came out of nowhere and partly because when Mercedes came out for a moment, I thought it was like, you know, because I knew she was going to be on the card. I knew she basically had a match against a champion. And for a second, I was like, oh, did she finagle something where she's going to take on Statlander? And, you know, that's going to be the next title that she adds to her repertoire. So I got kind of excited about that. And obviously that was not the case. And then I got upset because I did not like the way they treated Statlander with Mercedes basically just shooing her away. I thought was incredibly lame. They kind of made up for that at the end of the Mercedes and Mina match, but I like all the championship stuff. I like, you know, the Ultimo name on Mercedes. None of that really bothers me. And yeah, I think if you're going to do Athena, that needs to be something you build to. And I guess that would, you know, that's kind of the big question as far as the women's division is, who's going to be the one to kind of unseat Mercedes at this point?
I think what they're almost alluding to, and we're going to stick with the women here, is with Chris Statlander and Mercedes Moné looking like it's going to be a full gear match. The question is, like, which championships are going to be up for grabs? They're almost putting this on pause because the AEW Women's Tag Team Championships bracket will be revealed Wednesday night on Dynamite, too. So I have to think that a lot of the women that we've been seeing on TV are going to be featured in that thing. So in a sense, you're almost putting certain things to a halt. And that just puts the sole focus right now on Chris Statlander and Mercedes Moné singles-wise. It's kind of what I see. Thoughts?
I think you nailed it, man. Don't really have a whole lot else on there. Like I said, for some reason, the ladies just didn't really get me on this card. As far as the matches, I think I liked the least, it would have been the Mercedes match, the Jamie Hayter match. And just because of, you know, my own personal preferences as far as, well, shit, I forgot about the six man with the Demand and Hurt Syndicate, which is, holy shit, is that feud just completely cooled off both of those teams. I'm still upset that Hurt Syndicate haven't lost an actual match to the Brodito. But I was going to say the Jurassic Express match is also one that it was just a lot. And I'm not saying I disliked it, but those were kind of the matches that didn't really hit for me. Tony Storm and Statlander, I liked, and most of that is just because Tony is so locked into her character. And when a professional wrestler gets to this level where they're this locked in, it literally translates into their matches. And you can tell they're not trying to wrestle a match a certain way. I don't know. That's not the right way to say this. They're in the ring as their character. They're wrestling as their character. That's how locked in they are. And that to me, just, that's like the top level is when you're that locked in, when you're that over with the character. And that's where Tony is. So almost no matter whatever she does, it's going to work for me right now.
It carried into Chris Statlander's performance too.
Yeah.
I thought she was outstanding. In this match with some of the stuff that she was doing, and just they work really well together. Something I didn't know. They alluded to it. This is the first singles match these two have had. Part of the Fatal Four Way, of course, last pay-per-view cycle at All Out. So yes, this was the first singles match between the two. And yeah, I thought Chris Statlander passed it with flying colors. You know, Toni Storm's not going to be hurt by anything. Her character at this point is almost indestructible. Yeah, she looked great. And I think with her and Mina now, with their promo, just wondering, well, we just lost everything, but at least we have each other. Well, I think they're probably going to be heading into that women's tag title tournament and either winning it or at least being in the championship.
And I love that, giving, you know, in my opinion, your top woman an immediate direction after, you know, not winning the world title, you know, not being in that main event level. You immediately give her a direction. I really like that.
Which we'll tie this in, because Jamie Hayter defeated Tekla to in a technicality open the show. I'll get to that after we talk about the women. It was a good physical match. I was a little bit confused. I did feel that Tekla would have been better off winning this match, just because Chris Statlander right now is devoid of heel opponents. But then now they're going to throw Mercedes Moné into this scenario.
Yeah.
And with Blood and Guts coming up, and Jamie Hayter, Tekla being featured in this situation with Sky Blue and Julia Hart and Queen Aminata. So you got 3-on-2. We'll figure out the rest of the women later. This thing's not over between them. I just think it would have been nice to see Tekla get a win here. I don't think Jamie would have been hurt by it in the process.
Yeah, man, I agree. The women's division outside of Mercedes is lacking some depth as far as heel opponents goes for your world champion, especially when your world champ kind of feels like the third or fourth most important woman on the roster, when you really want to be giving her some good opponents. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused by that direction, but after Blood and Guts, they'll be able to clear that up. I'm assuming so Full Gear would be, so November 11th is when Blood and Guts is. So it would probably be, Full Gear would either be the 15th or the 22nd of November.
I wonder if that's something we could look up.
I hope it's November 22nd. That would be lovely. So that gives you some space to be able to throw some extra matches on the card and go from there.
Of course, I Google it and it just does not give me an immediate answer. Bastards. It is November 22nd.
Perfect. Yeah. So it gives them a little extra, gives them an extra week to kind of surface some things together and figure out what you're going to do.
So I'm assuming that
go ahead.
Did I miss something? They already have two matches listed for Full Gear.
Statlander
on Wikipedia.
Mercedes.
Yeah, Statlander.
What's the other one?
And Big Boom AJ in TBA versus Roppongi Vice.
Okay.
So which I guess they did tease on the pre-show or whatever.
And Big Boom was also on last year's Full Gear Guard, I believe, as well.
So, wow, Statlander and Mercedes. That's pretty fucking huge.
That's massive. And they wrestled at Full Gear last year. So it's just going to be revisiting what happened a year ago, where both of those matches were excellent. We felt that the first match was better than the second, but nonetheless, these two have really good chemistry and we'll just see what type of stipulations they throw in there too. All right. I'm going to call halftime and we're going to talk about, I'm going to throw the patron stuff one more time. This is important more so, I'd say, for the audio listeners than anything, but if you are watching this via video, I would like you to follow along as well. We just sent out a survey to everybody in the Facebook group, our patrons. We've also featured it on a couple of social media platforms. And I wanted you and the audio listeners to be able to get involved as well. Please email topropenation@gmail.com. And we'll be able to send out this survey, especially if you've just been listening for the last 9.5 years. That's how long this podcast has been on the air. We're close to 400 episodes right now as well. That's going to be coming down the pipeline in a couple of weeks. We have been just trying to really hone in on growing even more than we already have in the last handful of years through the transitions with Kyle being gone the last couple of years. We have maybe potentially something in the works behind the Patreon side that would make things more alluring. We would love to get extra patrons. Justin's been obviously been just biting his nails, getting ready for Meet the Nation, which I think a lot of folks are excited about, where we get to feature our patrons behind that paywall, go one-on-one with them. Justin's just going to shoot the shit for an hour, talk about wrestling, but also other things.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be like 50% wrestling is my intent. Like, I want to learn about these people and just talk about all of our interests.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this whole thing's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. And the community that has been built here over the course of the last 9.5 years, we're, again, looking to truly zero in over the course of the next at least 180 days and try to grow this thing even more. So $5 a month is what gets you into a specific tier, just to be able to hear all of our hundreds, and now it's hundreds of shows with TRN Unplugged, TRN Extra, our TRN Classics, the siren behind me as well.
A deal so good that the police will come for you.
That is correct.
Because it is like theft.
$10 tier gets you to nominate shows each month, which we're going to be doing, I believe, Halloween Havoc 1989 is what we're going to be reviewing.
Is that what's winning right now?
I believe it won, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, interesting.
So super psyched to go back in time for the first Halloween Havoc that was ever produced by WCW. And you get to listen to all the back archives. Kyle and Liam have quite a few shows on there. I mean, all of us are featured behind that paywall. I might be introducing something new next year, which I'm going to talk to Justin about off air. It's all going to depend on the whole ECW 1996 situation and what happens with all of the audio that's out on the interwebs that can just getting shut down at this point. And I don't know what's going to happen with Peacock either. Lastly, $20 tier will get you training, as in podcast training. You can learn from the best. Ryan's been doing this for such a long time. And not just that, Ryan has been dipping in. He's been now doing Bleacher Report after shows. One thing that we're going to announce right now, and I'm sorry in advance for doing this, Ryan, but he is now a Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame voter. Your thoughts, Justin? The guy's been working his tail off for 2 decades, and a lot of good things are coming his way, which also means likely a larger audience for us in the future. So that is what I wanted to bring to the table. Ryan's going to do a much better job of it the next time we're on the air, which is episode 399. Any other thoughts, Justin, before we roll on to the rest of the pay-per-view?
I'm good, man.
All right. Let's go to... Okay. This is the first of its kind. I love the hell out of this. Give me your thoughts on the pay-per-view starting with the end of the FTR versus Jetspeed match.
Chef's kiss. I feel like we've been waiting for this to happen in forever, to the point where, like, when it actually happened, I was like, what, has this happened before? It feels like it should have happened before, because I was stunned when they announced the pre-show card. There was 4 matches, and we know how Tony gives his guys and ladies time. It's like they only have an hour for 4 matches, and then the first match took up almost a half an hour. I was like, ooh, something's going on here. And especially when it started looking like it was going to be FTR and Jet Speed that were going to close the pre-show. It's like, I mean, I guess that could be a short match just because, like, it could tease what these guys could really do given time. But I mean, I fucking loved it, man. With that show starting with all 4 of those guys trading punches with the fireworks going off on the stage. Chef's kiss, perfect, no-nos.
This has never been done on North American pay-per-view, ever.
Shocking. I cannot believe that.
So this is something brand spanking new. So just because I was curious, I surfed both sides of the social media coin. And one side, of course, was pro this. I'm pro this.
God.
And of course, the other side was anti, and you can guess exactly which ones they were. By the way, patreon.com/toprope nation. Quite a few of those will be featured on the next TRN Unplugged episode, so be ready for that one as well. Yes, it's non-traditional. And I threw this in the coin as well. This is probably the only time I'm going to mention the WWE in this podcast. Suppose you start a PLE with the ending of, let's just say, the same quality of that Sami Zayn Ilya Dragunov match that was on SmackDown on Friday night, which is being called one of the best TV matches in the WWE this year. Ilya wins the United States Championship, by the way. Why not feature that on your PLE to kick it off right away?
Mm-hmm.
Be fucking fantastic.
I mean, especially you think about it, it's like, especially with teams like FTR and Jet Speed, and you're trying to sell your pay-per-view. I know there's a portion of people that are going to be like, oh, you're just going to piss people off because they wanted to see that match. It's like, well, then buy the fucking pay-per-view or fucking steal it. Do whatever you have to do to watch it. You know, I mean, yeah, I absolutely loved it. And those guys did exactly what they needed to do to kickstart that pay-per-view.
I think the other anti from what I saw was that it's just breaking tradition. So we're thinking like boxing, UFC, all the combat sports, like they open the show with a proper match. They've never opened a show proper with the ending of something that was on the prelims. It's like, okay, get over it. Wrestling's evolving right now. That's the way that I feel.
Arguing tradition is the dumbest and most weak-minded argument you could possibly fucking come up with to argue against what they did. As long as they don't overdo this, if it's like a once every few years kind of thing, it's something that you should do. It's like, why should matches just end right before the pay-per-view starts? You know, it's like, do this kind of thing if you have the right match and the right people.
And they did.
Yes.
FTR has been killing it this year.
Yeah. As soon as we're done podcasting, I'm ordering a FTR shirt along with two other ones.
Ooh, that 10-star FTR would be pretty sweet. Jet Speed, they are an up-and-coming tag team with Kevin Knight, who I think once he breaks off from Speedball Mike Bailey, whenever the heck that is, if he can just latch on to a character, that guy's got a future.
Yep.
And we all know Mike Bailey's like the king, and I'm going to say this in the best way, the king of enhancing others, enhancing talent. He's like good enough to beat a mid-carder, but not good enough to break into that upper echelon because of the strength of his character. But in terms of what he brings into the ring, there are not many people on that roster that are as good as him.
Yeah, he's exactly what you want in your mid-card.
Beautiful. He's
unique as both a character and a wrestler. I agree with you. I don't think he's going to break into the top tier, nor do I really want him to at this point. He needs to show a lot more, but he's an exciting wrestler.
110%. So, yeah, tremendous ending to it. I'm actually, when we're done, I'm going to go watch the beginning of the match because I haven't watched it yet.
Hell yeah. Hey, there's no good time for me to do this. I forgot about it while we were talking about the actual match, but I just have to share my favorite skeet about the show from last night, and it was in regards to John Moxley and Darby.
Let's hear it.
So let's just backtrack just a tiny little bit, because this, like I said, my favorite social media interaction. Our buddy, a former guest of Unplugged, Trevor Dame,
the man,
he skeeted Mox, if you keep getting Darby wet, he's going to multiply. And then if you feed him 45 minutes from now, it's going to be a whole thing. Perfect. Absolutely fucking loved it. Darby is Gremlins.
Oh, I could totally see that. He also said this main event is going to be really the AEW versus the Missouri Athletic Commission.
Which it really didn't turn out to be, in my opinion. I know that nerd that used to work with AEW got all fucking up in arms about the drowning thing, but come on.
Yeah, I guess, and I think to close this chapter as well, they're showing this at like 11 o'clock at night.
But
I'm assuming if you're a responsible parent, your kid's going to be in bed.
But even beyond that, man, it's like, if your kid sees something like that on TV, and this goes even beyond just professional wrestling, and they think they should do that to another kid or something else, you have failed as a parent in so many other departments that a professional wrestling match should be the least of your fucking worries. Like, that is just you know, maybe this makes me a bad dad. I showed my kid because I'm not fucking worried about him going and drowning or trying to drown one of his kids. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. My 4-year-old son, I think we're going to move on to the next tag team match after this. Go ahead.
No. Go. You finish.
Oh, I just said that he's like all weekend long, we've been playing outside. He's been really into puzzles. And now he's like loving multiplication. So doing those types of things. But in the middle of breaks, for whatever reason, he's like, let's watch videos. He kept going back to, and I sent it to you guys in the group chat, the Eddie Kingston Tomohiro Ishii 30-second chop fest from AEW All Out 2022. He was just fascinated by it.
But I bet you're not going to show him Darby Mox because he is not of that age yet. Just like I'm not going to show my 3-year-old that, you know, exactly. My older son, I feel more confident in who he is and in his ability to digest this kind of stuff. You know, I don't know. It's so ridiculous. You know, fuck it. I'm going to get real personal here. Just because I don't think these people listen to the podcast. I have a family member who just this year decided that they are not going to let their kids participate in Halloween because they think it's going to teach them about death and the coming of Satan. And, you know, they're very religious, and I don't have a problem with faith. But it's just, to me, it's like, question number one would be, growing up, what did you think about Halloween? Did it make you think those things, or was it just a fun night to dress up and get free candy with your friends? And then, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm fucking, you know, fuck it. It's Sunday night. Let's have some fun.
Yes.
You're taking them to church and they're staring at an image of a man nailed to a crucifix. And you're worried about Halloween, teaching them about death. It's like that. Wires are getting crossed in society. And so many people are just, I don't know, man. We've kind of lost our way when it comes to especially social media and having to share everything. And man, it's just so weird. You know, you think about as kids wrestling with your friends and you still knew like to be safe at a certain extent. It's like, we're not trying to hurt each other. You know, I don't know. It's just all, it's also ridiculous. I probably shouldn't have gotten into that, but it's been on my mind lately. And I had a few beers earlier. So
here we go. Which, by the way, Sunday night, we haven't done this in a while. What's in the glass?
I because I had a couple beers, I just poured a tiny glass that I've been sipping on of G&T.
I'm almost in your boat. I do have some Hendrix inside this Gatorade.
Oh, look at you, buddy. I like it.
I had to do it for tonight. Like I said, I took a decent amount of notes and I was heavily prepared for what I was going to say this evening, especially with the diatribe about what we're going to be doing in the future. Really wanted to step up to the plate on that one.
I think we've waited too long. I think we need to talk about the men's world championship match.
So we're going to go all the way down to the bottom and then we're going to work our way up. Okay.
Yeah, let's jump around, you know.
This has been a fun show, not like House of Pain, by the way. I'm gonna close the Halloween section and also my son's section with this too. So he didn't hit me all weekend long. He was just the usual playful stuff. He knows. He's just like, I don't teach him those types of things. I think I'm a responsible parent. And then when it comes to Halloween, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was just, I mean, that was my whole point. I kind of, when I get into my ramblings, I lose my way, but it's just like, if your kid sees Moxley dunking Darby into a tank and you think they might actually do that to another kid, if you're worried about your kid going out for Halloween and learning about death and think that Satan is coming, you failed already.
Yeah. Halloween for me was always about candy and dressing up.
Yep.
Just like you said, it's my son's mom's favorite holiday by a mile. And she's been teaching him a lot about that. I'll close with this too. So we have been invited. This is the first time ever. I am actually, as people know, I am Hispanic. We're going to a Dia de los Muertos, November. It's the biggest day in Mexico.
Yeah.
They celebrate the dead. They have shrines. It's really effing cool. If you really want to do your history about, like, into how they celebrate people who have perished onto bigger and better things, hopefully, then yeah, like, do your due diligence and do that. I actually wrote an article like 6-7 years ago about the 5 best Hispanic wrestlers that are no longer living. I wrote it on dailyddt.com. I'll probably throw it in the group for Top Rope Nation so you can take a look at it. Like El Santo, Eddie Guerrero, you name it. Like the legends of yesteryear. And also just kind of the history of what Dia de los Muertos means in Mexico.
And if you don't want to do your due diligence, at the very least watch Coco, because it's a fucking beautiful movie.
Somebody just told me they watched that yesterday, funny enough.
You've seen it, right?
Honestly, no.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I fucking bald like a baby at that movie, dude. You got to see it, man. You have to see it. It's beautiful. A beautiful movie.
I'm in on that. I'm definitely in on that. So I'm going to focus down here. We're going to talk about Hangman Page, Samoa Joe, heavyweight championship match. And Hangman, of course, retained. It took 3 buckshot lariats to do the damn thing. Justin, did you like the presentation of the match? And then the after theatrics with Mr. Samoa Joe and the ops all turning heel.
I said it at the beginning of the pod about what AEW does with their pay-per-views, about giving you different kinds of matches. This felt like an old school, just a professional wrestling match. And when you have professionals like Samoa Joe and Hangman Page delivering that product to you, I don't know how it could be bad. The only thing bad going into this match was the obvious winner. There was no way Hangman was going to lose. I was actually thinking about this earlier today. I kind of wish that MJF wouldn't have been such an asshole and would have dropped the title to Swerve instead of insisting it had to be Samoa Joe. For one, just because it would have given Swerve a longer reign. But also because I think maybe you would have bought into the possibility of a Samoa Joe championship at this point. I don't believe that he's going to be a 2-time AEW champion. Having said all that, love the match. And frankly, I'm excited for a juiced up version of what we just got with the heel turn, which I thought was excellently executed, to quote a certain Canadian. You know, it's still going to have the problem of, we know who's going to win. Do we think they carry this to full gear? I kind of hope they do, just because, you know, we have to appreciate things we have while we have them. And that's Samoa Joe. I mean, it is fucking insane that it is the year of our Lord, 2025, and this dude is still going at the caliber that he is going. And we don't know, just like with Brian, he could just drop off at any second, you know? So let's fucking be thankful that we still get banger fucking Samoa Joe matches in main events right now that we're getting. And to get a heel Samoa Joe against Hangman, I'm all for it, man. What did you think?
The match was solid, of course. I think they had to turn Samoa Joe heel. I mean, the ops by default as well. Because Hangman right now doesn't have really any contenders on the heel side of things.
Yeah.
Ready made.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. It's not quite a replay of his run in 2021. He's a much more established character now. He truly is the guy.
Yep.
AEW, though, is starting to fall into a little bit of this trap, and I do understand it, with the gimmick matches main eventing ahead of the World Heavyweight title. Some people might take it as the gimmick matches are more important than the World Heavyweight title. Like the 5-on-5 was a lights out. They've been putting the lights out at the end of these shows for 6 years. That's been a staple of AEW.
Yep.
They threw the I Quit match here on this show. Hangman Kyle Fletcher did main event All Out, like it should have. So I just always think of, if you truly are the guy, you should be closing the show. Hangman truly is the guy.
Yeah.
He's just been a kind of a victim of circumstances. I guess.
Agree. Great point.
Give me some of your thoughts.
No, I think you nailed it. It is concerning to a low degree that he's your man and he is not main eventing. You know, you think back to CM Punk being champion in, what was that? Was that 2012 when John Cena was fucking main eventing every pay-per-view against John Laurinaitis or some bullshit like that? You know, this is not like that, but obviously that's what I'm kind of thinking about a little bit. In this case, you can definitely see why they maybe held off. This was Darby's moment. You want to keep that kind of violent of a match on as late as possible. So it hasn't really bothered me, but I certainly have had it in the back of my mind.
They have two more pay-per-views left in 2025. Hangman should main event them both.
Agree. And I'm still waiting for that ladies world title match to main event a pay-per-view, though.
When Tony and Mariah didn't main event in March, I was very disappointed. And at that time, this was probably dumb of me to say, I said that they won't main event a pay-per-view for a long time. I thought that was like the golden opportunity. I don't know if a match with that marquee is going to be able to do it again, unless you get Tony Mercedes too.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I agree.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, unfortunately, maybe to the chagrin of Hangman, if they finally crown Mercedes as world champ at Full Gear, do they put that on last against Statlander? I say to the chagrin of Hangman, Hangman does not give a shit. This is the guy who goes out of his way to call it the men's world championship, you know, not just the world championship. Oh, I watched that 30-minute doc on him, which is pretty good. Nothing groundbreaking by any means, but it's just one of those, like, you watch and it's like, yeah, that's exactly who I thought Adam Page was. Good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing a lot of commentary mentioning men's and women's world titles. It's been that way since Hangman won it. So I think this discussion would be down the road would be nice to have, where you kind of dig into Hangman's lack of contenders at this point and what do you do about it?
Because I think my preference is, just because of my love of Samoa Joe, would you drag this out to Full Gear or get it done a little earlier?
I think you have to drag it out to Full Gear.
Okay.
There really isn't. I'll probably get into a couple more options a little bit later down the road here. But yeah, I don't really think there's too much else that you could probably put on.
The side benefit of dragging it out as long as possible is, it, you know, obviously it puts a spotlight on this new heel Samoa Joe, but that also benefits Powerhouse Hobbs, which I want to see. I want to keep him in the spotlight. I want to see this new Powerhouse heel character.
Maybe it carries on. Hobbs gets a opportunity to grow from this. Maybe get a world title shot on TV. He's had one of those before.
Yeah, against Moxley in Cincinnati, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not too far after the new year.
Yeah. So, yeah. And like I said a couple of times, I think Samoa Joe, in terms of my favorites all time, is in my top 10. Like, I love his work. It's timeless. TNA, ROH. The guy's put on unbelievable performances. I talk about the Kenta Kobashi match almost weekly. Just did it again. So, yeah. Definite true Samoa Joe fan here. Should we move on to the match potentially of the night?
Yeah, I think we have at least two matches we need to at least touch on.
Oh, yes. Brodito, Okada, Takeshita. World Tag Team titles.
I loved it. I need to rewatch it because that was one that was right at, I finally had to put the boy down. I let him stay up late to watch as much of the show as possible, but I had to pause it. And for whatever reason, when I restarted it, I was watching on HBO Max and it was just kind of glitching a little bit in the smallest of like the frame rate wasn't quite where you want it to be. It was kind of distracting. And even with that distracting, I still fucking was loving what I was seeing. Absolutely love Bandido and Brody King getting a win against the caliber of opponents of Okada and Takeshita. I mean, talk about, you know, saying something about a team. That's how you make a fucking statement.
I'm happy they didn't pin Takeshita because he's now IWGP heavyweight champion. He's got to go over there and be the ace of that company for a little while, the top guy. So this is only Okada's third pinfall loss. Do I put you on the spot and who has pinned him?
In AEW.
Yes.
So it was this one. It was Kyle Fletcher in the C2.
That is correct.
And God, I don't think I can get the other one. Is it more obvious than Kyle Fletcher in the C2?
I don't know about more obvious, but, and I don't even know if, actually, here's the big dead giveaway. I don't even know if he was in the company when he got pinned by this guy.
Oh, Danielson?
That is correct.
Okay, I don't think he was.
There you go.
All right. That was at Forbidden Door, right?
That is correct. Yes. All right. Danielson broke his arm.
All right. Yeah, I don't think he was officially with AEW. I might be wrong there, but I don't think so.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And Bandido, by the way, has been a big deal in 2025. Oh, I think,
God, dude,
you can almost say he's neck and neck with somebody that we're going to talk about a little bit later for probably in-ring performer of the year. But they're going to run this back on Dynamite on Wednesday night for the unified title. Okada, that's Brodito. Wow.
Let's fucking go.
Is this going to be sick? Okay. All unified championship matches, I'm assuming, are 60 minutes. This is one of those that could probably go Broadway. I don't want Bandido to lose.
The nice thing about Bandido is that, like, God, he just kind of feels bulletproof right now. Dude, what's his finishing maneuver called?
The 21-plex.
When he went for that the first time and couldn't do it because of his shoulder, and then he did it, finally pulled it off the second time with one arm. That fucking guy, man.
Move
fucking
of the night.
Bandido, dude. He is the man.
Move of the night was that one-arm 21-plex to Okada.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I really dug this match. I mean, and a huge part of that is just because I fucking love everybody involved in this match. And just the execution of it was about spot on. Giving your world tag team champions that kind of spotlight win over, you know, Takeshi and Okada. Yeah. Loved it. Loved it.
I have to show this. I did not change my name. I am not Ryan Drosty. Tim, I did not go bald. Ryan did not go bald. I was just way too lazy in trying to do certain things here on the YouTube stream to change my name.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yes, I am. That's why I had to represent Ryan for tonight. Well, he messaged us. I have not looked at it yet, but yeah, this match was fantastic. I loved the Macarena spot with the double middles from Okada. And then at the end, them trying to do the Macarena, I thought it was kind of a super, just super funny thing. Just, there was just so much action in this match. And I'm only going to ask this once, because I mean, this has been a staple of AEW's for 6 years. And it's happened, I think, in almost every match where there was a no sell of something. Do you think the no selling's getting to be a little bit too much, or you just kind of, yeah, is what it is now. This is what we get with AEW.
It depends on the match. Because, like, in this match, it didn't really bother me.
No, me neither.
And not that it bothered me, but it left me a little bit cooler again with Jurassic Express versus Young Bucks. And maybe just because I'm not quite as interested in those teams. But yeah, for me, that's just a case-by-case scenario.
Very fair. You segued it perfectly, which means we're going to end on a high note with a match I want to talk about as well. Young Bucks, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry, Jurassic Express. There's still one more after this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I want to end on the high note.
Okay.
I absolutely popped with the Young Bucks entrance and how they are down to $32 in their bank account.
That was good.
Yeah, and they came out to the theme music of Insufficient Funds. for an entrance.
Okay, Jesse, can I punch back at you a little bit?
Because
I listened to your Unplugged, and I like the cash gimmick for matches, especially because it works so well with what they're doing with the Young Bucks right now. Like, that's the whole point. Like, yeah, it loses its effect if you just do it all the time. But because, like, that's the entire storyline with the Young Bucks right now, is that they're either broke, or if they have money, they don't know how to spend it, or they blow it all gambling. I dig it. It's just simple. It's such a simple, unoffensive stipulation to add to a match that doesn't really affect anything in a major way. It's just for the storyline. I'm okay with them carrying this on for a little while.
I like this variation. Just tell me why the other 5, 6, 7 matches before this, like, it was just a complete afterthought and nobody's gone crazy with any money and nobody's given me any explanations on how their money was spent.
Yeah, because they did the four-way at the Arena Mexico one, which that was just kind of like, whatever. But
the ladies have been involved in a couple. There's been a lot of them.
Yeah, okay, I can see what you see. But, like, right now, I dig it.
Me too. I agree. So, I mean, I guess they saved it for the right people. It's just, can we, once this is done, can we do away with these $100,000 challenges for just a little while, please? I just think it's a little much. But on the right people, with these guys, yeah, I do dig this gimmick. And this match, which was just Young Bucks being the Young Bucks, them working with two people they really like.
Yeah.
High octane offense, a little bit of no selling here, but I thought it was fun for what it was. And Jurassic Express getting the win and keeping the Young Bucks kind of down and out for a little while here. We have no idea where they're going to go. And then there's the aftermath of it as well, with Kenny Omega coming to save them after Don Callis and Don Callis's family hit the ring to jump him.
Yeah, kind of curious to see where it goes. The Bucks have had their working boots on for a while now in 2025, and I think more so than any other match this year, they really had them on in this match for Jurassic Express. I think this is a match a lot of people like. Again, not super for me. But I certainly was entertained through most of it. And especially, you know, the last 5 to 7 minutes was pretty incredible. More so than the Bucks and Kenny stuff. Like I saw people talking about, it's like, oh, when the elite reunite, that's going to hit so hard. I don't really give a shit about that. I'm more curious as to what's going on with Jurassic Express. I still feel like there's something insidious with Jack Perry that, you know, they could maybe drag out for a little while.
We'll see where it goes. I saw a couple of innovative spots in this match, by the way, just with the Bucks doing that slingshot into a powerbomb. And Jack Perry had the good nature to reverse it into a Hurricanrana. I actually popped for that.
Yeah.
Usually I don't pop for those super high spots either.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's all sort of, they dug deep into their toolbox, and they brought up old stuff that they used to do. And it's seemed like they did some stuff we've never seen before. So like it was a fun match. Just not my bag for the most part.
Yeah, I think for some people who are huge Young Bucks fans, this is their match of the night. And for me, I just said way too many kickouts of finishers for me to throw this in the match of the night category. I put it at around 3.5. And yes, I said cut at least 5-6 minutes off of this as well.
Yeah.
One thing I have not heard anybody say about the Young Bucks this year, by the way, they are in the best physical shape they've ever been in.
Yep.
They look fucking fantastic.
I feel like I just saw an interview not very like recently in the last 2 weeks where they said they have not been, you know, this locked in quite a while.
I was just going to ask, I was like, why has nobody asked them this question? Cause me being in the shoot job that I have, that'd probably be the first question I would ask them right away. What have you guys been doing in the gym? What have you been eating? Cause you look, yeah, the transformation that I've seen from the time you left to the time you got back, like you guys are serious right now. It's refreshing. It's great.
Certainly haven't been eating my diet. That's for sure.
So yeah, enjoy the match. And it was what it was. Let's close with this. Kyle Fletcher, Mark Briscoe, 24 minutes of fun. Their fifth installment. These guys have tremendous chemistry.
Yep.
I did not know who to root for in this match because I didn't feel that either one of them should have lost.
Yeah, I was a little surprised listening to your Unplugged just because I think Kyle Fletcher is so much the future. And I still think we're probably a couple of years away from him being world champion just because of who's ahead of him. You know, we want to see, you know, possibly another Swerve title run. We want to see that Will Ospreay title reign. I think we're still a ways away, but God damn, dude, you know, you talk about people that can fucking go in the ring. It's Bandido. It's Kyle Fletcher. It's Mark Briscoe. You know, I mean, these guys just don't fucking miss. And they did not miss here. And, you know, there was part of me, it's like, ah, fuck, we've seen this four times before. Could this maybe not feel special? No, it was fantastic. These two are too good not to let it absolutely deliver. And the thing is like, kind of where do you go from here? Because Mark Briscoe's coming off that huge win off of MJF at All Out. And, you know, Kyle Fletcher got his big match against the world champion, which he lost. But, I would keep that on him for quite a while. I would not be taking the TNT championship off of him anytime soon. And that was my thought going in, which is the only reason why I totally get where you were coming from, because I fucking love Mark Briscoe and want to see him with some gold. But I did not think this was the time for that, considering the trajectory of Kyle Fletcher.
Especially, it was like late July when he won it. So we're hitting 3 months on this, and mm-hmm. Fletcher should rule
and,
this
and
for
coming
a while.
Off of a loss.
Mm-hmm. Losing the Hangman. That's another big one. Yeah. I mean, you probably could have thrown this match maybe a little bit later down the road, but I guess I can't really complain with having these two in the middle of a pay-per-view. I guess I would like to see Briscoe be the one to unseat him when it finally happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Wouldn't be opposed to that. Yeah, man, this was one of those matches where don't know, as a wrestling fan, sometimes you just watch something and you just kind of start giggling sometimes when you're just so happy about what you're watching. And I had a couple of those moments in this match. Some of those near falls were absolutely incredible. You know, the double clothesline, everything is just,
yep.
Everything is so crisp that these two do. I just can't praise them enough.
That was in the middle of the notes was, yeah, I loved the double clothesline. Loved was in all caps. The powerbomb on the steel steps.
Yep.
The sweet J-driller on the apron from Briscoe. Yes. Did another J-driller later, which ended up, Fletcher ended up getting his fingers on the ropes to break up the three count.
Yeah.
Really good stuff there. And Fletcher ends up pushing the ref into Briscoe, kicking him in the nuts. And then hitting a regular brainbuster for a two count. Couldn't get it done. He just got angry. Threw him back in the corner. Did his trademark kick. And then hit the... I still don't know the name of the move. But that what El Generico did in Ring of Honor. And Fletcher has adopted it. It's an awesome finisher.
Yes.
Looks great.
Yes.
And does not hurt the guy. Which I think is one of the most mind-blowing things of all of this. Scores the three count. Fletcher retains. Yes, I think it just goes back to Hangman and his lack of heel challengers. It's like, well, what is he going to do? So he's like, we've talked about probably Samoa Joe in November. It's almost like if you have Briscoe win now, the coronation of Fletcher as AEW world champion, I even said as like early as Revolution next year, because you're devoid of heels. But then you have MJF coming back in a couple of months. Maybe Hangman holds this thing for a long time. I mean, there's just so many questions to be answered here.
I think we need a long Hangman reign here. But goddamn, he does need some challengers, and they got to build up some heels for him in the coming months. You know, I think Okada is a good choice. You know, I had said that that's who I was hoping would have been the all out match. Although I like the direction they're going, but I think Okada's going to be busy with Takeshita. This is for another podcast as far as like what's going to happen with Wrestle Kingdom. Any idea when Jay White's coming back? Because he holds multiple wins over Hangman.
That's the big one. I think somebody said that he posted on social media a couple of days ago and hadn't posted in a while, almost signifying that he's getting close.
I mean, that would be the move. If you can get, I mean, you hate to throw Jay White under the proverbial Hangman bus as soon as he comes back. But fuck, if you could get a couple big matches out of that, you know, wouldn't hate it.
I don't think it's worse for the wear because he owns Hangman at this point. He only has, I think he's 4-5-1 against Hangman lifetime.
Yeah, including, you know, two big pay-per-view matches.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be a super easy plug-and-play type contender there. We'll spend 30 seconds on this match because I do want to, I know, because I wanted to talk about using this guy as a heel challenger, Ricochet, and the demand going against the Hurt Syndicate. And yeah, it was definitely, there wasn't much there, but I think Ricochet did not get pinned in this match. He's been looking fine, I think, throughout this feud. And now they're just pushing Hurt Syndicate as faces because they're the next opponent for the Ops for the Trios title here on Wednesday night.
Yeah, for me, that ship is kind of sailed. I love what Ricochet has done since he got to AEW, showing, you know, this different side of his character. That the heel work has been spot on, but if he's going to be in a world championship match, that to me, that's a television match at best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said,
and even with like Bobby, like I've never been a huge Bobby Lashley fan. And if they want to get him into that main event scene, they got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or that'd be a one-off. And frankly, I'd rather see Swerve get his singles win back against Bobby Lashley rather than throwing him to Hangman.
I think that's coming. Whenever he gets back from injury. I think Tony Khan made a mention of it in the press conference on Thursday before the pay-per-view, saying Swerve's probably back sooner rather than later. I'm thinking end of 2025, maybe like around World's End. So we could definitely see that play out. That was Wrestle Dream 2025. All over the map, no structure, which is perfectly fine. We wanted to wing it tonight. We did kind of wing it from a hole, but yeah, it ended up being a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, we got a comment. I agree with Peter Joe in the comments here. I prefer Bobby and Tagger trios.
Yeah, I think we're definitely with you there. Shelton stood out to me the most of those guys last night.
Yeah, same. So MVP seems to be kind of hanging on by a thread.
I kind of popped for his little ball and elbow.
Yeah. It was fine. I just can't give a shit about this rivalry.
I know. It's over with now, and they're going to move on to bigger things here. So, well, we covered it. You got your draft done. Off the check, Ryan's message off air here, and hopefully we did him well with this very eclectic and all over the place Top Rope Nation episode. Any other closing thoughts before we roll, Justin?
No, I think I have said too much on this podcast.
Our listeners enjoy when we go off tangent from time to time, and you get it a lot in the Facebook group. We're like, holy shit, Justin mentioned this. Thank you for doing that. We always get that at least once or twice in our Facebook group.
Well, I don't know. I don't really post to like, I'm done with X. I post very little of Blue Sky. When I do, it's probably more about Tottenham. I like taking my thoughts to our buddies on our TRN Facebook page. Those are the people I want to talk to about wrestling. So. I don't know. It's a little family, and I love all those guys and ladies.
Exactly. It's a super fun group. Join our Facebook wrestling discussion group. Just search under Top Rope Nation's Pro Wrestling Discussion. If you have not, if you're watching this in a little bit later form, subscribe to the channel while you're here. Hit that like button. It truly helps us in the algorithm. And then finding us on social media. I am not Ryan Drosty. I am Jesse Velasquez. You can find me there on Blue Sky. I have been using X.com a little bit more. I hate to say it. I know. Jesse C. Velasquez there. And you can find Ryan Drosty. That's Droste on all the major platforms. And we got it for you right there on Blue Sky, Justin. Justin, Joynt.
Hey, look at that guy.
All right. I have done my due diligence. And of course, as Ryan always says, we hit our highest mark, I think, when it comes to viewership at the very end of the show. Go Hawks, Tim. Did they win this weekend? Maybe you would know.
Oh, the Atlanta Hawks haven't started playing yet.
I'll have to look that up when we get off the
air. They did. Right? They won. The Hawkeyes won. Or as my littlest calls them, the Chickens. The Chickens won.
I think the Gophers beat Nebraska on Friday night. I'm pretty sure that happened. 5-2 on like my least favorite sports team at the University of Minnesota. Talk about that another day too. For Justin Joynt, my name is Ryan Drosty. I mean Jesse Velasquez. And that has been episode 398 of Top Rope Nation. We're closing on 400 in a couple weeks. Ooh. Side.
Peace.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.